Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for Easter sunrise comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, like he said." He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I never realized it before, but it appears as if the angel in our text is the one who causes the earthquake. That's how Matthew gives it to us, anyway. That foreword is used there in our text as a word of causation. And so perhaps it would be better to think of it as because. Behold, there was a great earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Now, maybe it wasn't the angel who actively caused it. Maybe this was just the automatic reaction of this temporal plane when a heavenly being made his appearance. But angels have shown up before, and not always preceded by an earthquake. And so maybe it was God who rumbled the ground to its very core as he sent his messenger to be a herald of the resurrection. Whatever the case, I suppose it doesn't matter all that much. In the end, there was a mighty earthquake, and an angel appeared at the tomb of Christ. And we might want to ask the question, why? Why such an earthquake? But I don't think we'll get a definitive answer to that either. It appears as if it might be for no better reason than just because, or to draw attention to the situation at hand. Or maybe it's the fact that the greatest event in all of human history has just occurred, and not even the foundations of the earth can keep silent. Perhaps the earthquake is a herald in its own right. Pay attention, O inhabitants of the earth, it rumbles. Everything that you thought you knew was true has now been undone. What is for certain, though, and this is what we see in our text, is that the earthquake did not move the stone that was placed in front of the tomb. After the angel had descended from heaven and the earth shook in its boots, this heavenly angel strode up to the stone and simply just rolled it away. This stone that most certainly took many men there and maybe perhaps a few fulcrums and levers to place was just tossed aside like a pebble by this member of the heavenly host. And then the angel just sits on it. Not that he's exhausted from exertion, but as if to mock it. This stone that the rulers of the day had just placed and sealed in front of the tomb to keep Jesus' body locked inside, it's nothing. It's puny. It's small and insignificant. It's weak and feeble and light as a feather. And so the angel sits on that stone like a sumo wrestler would sit on a schoolyard bully. Whatever power that stone thought it had, or whatever power those who put that stone there thought it might have, is now shown to be absolutely nothing. The angel sits on the stone, arrayed in the glories of heaven. His appearance was like lightning. His clothing is white as snow, nothing drab for this monumentous event. You don't go to prom in overalls, and it would appear as if you don't go to announce the resurrection looking like a vagabond. It's like the heralding of the heavenly host to the shepherds, keeping watch over the flock by night, all over again. The bookends of Jesus' miraculous life, now made known in the same way and for the very same purpose. Those angels out there on the hillside outside of Bethlehem proclaiming, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be for all people." Same thing here this Easter morning. The news that the angel is about to announce is for all. And in all of his heavenly glory, he proclaims it for all people to hear. The soldiers who were guarding the tomb, great men, used to a scuffle, donned with armor and shield and sword, now find themselves trembling out of fear, hiding their faces in the dirt. They become like dead men. And I quite honestly don't know what it means to become like dead men. Perhaps those mighty men whose job it was to make sure that Jesus' body didn't leave the tomb were so overcome by fear that they just fainted, and then they trembled and writhed around on the ground like scared little schoolgirls. What a difference a day makes. The powerful have now become utterly powerless. All the authority held by men taken away in the blink of an eye, in the flash of a lightning bolt. Even death itself, that great specter of terror and dread, is now found cowering in the tomb which once held Christ. And even though the stone has been rolled away, death can't leave that place. The grave is death's final resting place. The women who came to the tomb that day, they were scared as well. Matthew tells it as if they were present when the soldiers and the earthquake rumbled and the angel came down and rolled that stone away. So this mighty angel of God, who just toils with the markings of death like they're nothing, because now, because of Easter, they actually are nothing. This angel turns his attention to the women. They haven't fainted like the soldiers did. But when you come face to face with an angel from heaven, watching the impossible happen, you can't help but be just a little bit scared. And so the first thing out of the angel's mouth is the same thing that was proclaimed to the shepherds years ago. Don't be afraid. Which sounds at least the slightest bit strange, except for the fact that he goes on to explain the very reason why they shouldn't be afraid any longer. He knows that the women came to find Jesus, the one that they watched be crucified. And they knew where to find him, because a dead body doesn't just stand up and walk out of the grave in which it was laid. So they come to find their dead and dearly beloved Jesus, but they don't need to be afraid. They don't need to be afraid of the angel that's sitting there on the stone or the earthquake that just shook their feet, for those things weren't meant to hurt or harm them. And they don't need to be afraid of what transpired a couple of days ago. Jesus is not there. He's not in the tomb. He's risen just like he said. Just like he said. Just like he had always said. Time and time again, Jesus had foretold about his suffering and death and burial. But after each and every single time that he spoke of those things, he also spoke of and promised his resurrection. Come and see, the angel says to the women. Come and see the place where you expected to find the body of Jesus. The tomb is empty. As empty as the day that it was first hewn. He is risen. He is risen. Christ Jesus the Lord, he opened death's prison, the incarnate true word. Break forth hosts of heaven in jubilant song, and earth, sea, and mountain their praises prolong. And those words of do not fear words, the ones that the angel proclaims, they go even further than that very morning. The women at the tomb, you and I sitting here, thousands of Easters removed, no longer have to fear the grave or death or the fact that our loved ones have gone into that long good night before us, or the fact that we'll one day follow them into that grave. For all of us will one day, by the promised promise from the lips of God, sealed, sure and certain with that empty tomb of our Savior, all of us will follow Jesus out of our graves with resurrected bodies, free from all death and decay that our sin has wrought us. Do not fear. Jesus' tomb is empty. He's risen just like he said, which means that promise is most assuredly yours this morning. Matthew's account of that first Easter morning shows us the wonderful way in which those who follow Jesus into the grave should look at death, both now and for always. We need not fear it. Not that we should ever look at it like a friend, but we should and must look at it like a conquered enemy. Just like the angel did. Because he sits there on the stone, looking like lightning, clothing as white as snow, just like ours is promised to be one day, and he laughs at death. The grave is open. It won't hold Jesus. It won't hold your loved ones who have departed in the faith. And it most certainly won't hold you. He is risen.